Masechet Baba Kama Daf Kof Chet. We're talking about cases where a Bailey, a Shomer, swears falsely about the item and says he doesn't have it. In some cases, he has to pay a fifth extra, and in some cases, he has to pay double. So which is which? So we saw that in a case where he has Ta'anat Ganav, the Shomer claims that it was stolen, and then witnesses come and prove that he was lying, that's the case where he has to pay double, right? Ta'anat Ganav and witnesses come. But if he had Ta'anat Ganav and he admitted on his own, then he only pays a fifth. And also, if he claims Ta'anat Aveda, he claims that it was lost, also he pays a fifth. Now, in cases where he pays double, he doesn't also pay a fifth, right? We're going to explore here that question. Are there ever a case where one would pay two different fines? But right now, right, we're assuming one does not pay a double fine, and we're asking, how does that work exactly? Ba'ed ami bat hama, mamona mechayevo kefel potro min ha-chomesh, o dilma shivua mechayevto kefel potarto min ha-chomesh. In a case where the shomer claims it was stolen, and then witnesses come, so he pays double and does not pay a fifth. But the question is why? What's the mechanism that gets him out of paying a fifth? After all, he swore falsely. So there's two possibilities. Either it's the monetary obligation to pay double exempts him from paying a fifth, which means anytime you're paying double, automatically you're not going to also have to pay a fifth. Is that it? Or is the mechanism that gets him off the fifth the fact that he's making a swear, the type which would make him pay double should witnesses come, right? Is it that type of swear that makes him pay double that gets him out of the fifth? Which one is it? Is it the requirement to pay double or the swear that could require him to pay double? Now, this seems pretty theoretical. What would be a practical case where it would make a difference? Hechidame, kegon, sheta'an ta'anat ganav v'nishpa, v'chazar v'ta'an ta'anat avad v'nishpa. This guy, the Shomer, he made two separate false vows. First, in one betin, he claims, oh, sorry, it was stolen, and he swears to the fact. And then, perhaps in another betin, he swears and he says that it was lost, and he swears to that fact. Ubao edim akamaita. But then witnesses come only regarding the first and say, no, it was not stolen, right? They come and they deny that the first claim. Ve hoda abatraita. But the second claim that he made, that it was lost, that one, he admitted on his own. Mai. So what do we do here, right? There's two different types of swear. The one for stealing, and then witnesses came. For that one, he would be liable for double. But the second one, that it was just lost, and he admitted on his own, that one would require a fifth payment. So how do we judge this? On the one hand, he has to pay double because he stole, he claimed it was stolen, Tanat Ganav, and witnesses came, so now he's liable to pay double, and if we say it's the requirement of double payment is automatically going to get him off the fifth, then this guy would not have to pay the fifth for the other type of vow that he made falsely.
Or
do we say, in a regular case where he makes just one vow, it has to be a type of vow, that meaning ta'anat ganav, that would require him to pay double, because it's that type of vow, that's why he doesn't pay a fifth. But in this case, he made two types of vows, and the second type of vow, that it was lost, is not the kind of vow that would make him pay double. And therefore, that will not get him off the hook. He'll have to pay double for the first vow that he made, that it was stolen and witnesses came, and he will also have to pay a fifth for the second vow, right? When do we say that he only pays double? That was in a case where he just made one false vow. So then, since he made one false vow, but it was a type of vow that leads to double payment, so then he only pays double and not a fifth. But here he made two false vows, so maybe if it's only the vow that gets him off the hook, not the fact of payment, then here where he made two false vows, he'd have to pay double for the first vow and a fifth for the second vow. So which way do we conceptualize it? We have an answer. Amar Rava Tashma, Amar Le'ehad Min Ashuk. Hechan shori sheganavta. Vomer lo ganavti, mashpiachani v'amad amen. This Mishnah in Shavuot teaches that if an owner of an ox goes to someone in the marketplace, by saying someone in the marketplace, we're not talking about a shomer. He was not designated to be a shomer before. But the owner, for some reason, we'll see it's a good reason, suspects that this guy stole it. So the owner goes to this guy and says, where is my ox that you stole? This guy, the defendant, says, I didn't steal it. And now the owner says, I want you to swear. Now, technically, the defendant would not have to swear. He's not a shomer. The owner has no proof, but he wants to clear his name. And so he says, fine, amen, I swear I did not steal it. But in the end, it turns out that he did steal it. So what will be the punishment? Well, it depends how it's found out. If witnesses come and testify that in fact he stole it, he'll have to pay double. He has to pay double as a regular thief. Any thief that gets caught has to pay double. It's not because he made a vow. Even if he hadn't made a vow, he would still have to pay double. That's the law of a general thief. You know, the law of double payment for a shomer is only if he makes a vow. But this guy's not a shomer. So he has to pay double because he was caught. If he had, before witnesses came, if he had admitted on his own, then he would have to pay the principal plus a fifth plus an asham, because that's asham gezelot. This is a case of swearing falsely about a financial responsibility. And anyone who swears falsely about something that they owe, in this case he owes because he stole the item, has to pay the penalty of a fifth. Now let's analyze the Mishnah. And so in this case, their witnesses are who make him liable to pay double, right? The witnesses come, you're a thief, and therefore he has to pay double as any regular thief. And yet, if he had admitted on his own, then he would have to pay a fifth. But if the witnesses came and then he also admitted, he would not have to pay a fifth. What can we learn from that? If you think, according to the dilemma that we had above, if you think that it's the vow, a type of vow that makes someone required to pay double, that's what exempts him from paying the fifth. Not the fact that he has to pay double itself, but rather making a vow that obligates him to double. That vow is what exempts him from the fifth. Well, in this case, when he admitted after witnesses had come, why does he not have to pay a fifth? After all, this vow is not a type of vow that makes him pay double, right? Remember, this was not a vow of a shomer who claims it was stolen. Only that type of vow makes him pay double. Here, he's paying double not because of the vow at all, but rather simply because he's a regular thief and witnesses came and found him out. So he has to pay double. So in this case, since the double payment is from the witnesses, not from the shivua, and this is just a regular case of someone who vows falsely regarding a monetary thing, he has to bring a regular asham gezelot for lying. So he should have to pay a fifth also. So you see, if the fifth payment is only exempt because of the shivua, and here a shivua that would make one pay double, here the shivua is not a type that could ever make someone pay double, so he should have to pay double for stealing, and a fifth also for the false swear. But it's not so. The Mishnah says that once he pays double, he does not pay a fifth. Therefore, we can conclude that it's the fact that he has to pay double, even though the double payment is not because of the swear, but only because he stole. Nevertheless, once you're required to pay double for something that you stole, you no longer have to pay a fifth, even though there was yet another vow that, even though there was also a vow that otherwise would have made you pay a fifth. And so we successfully conclude that dilemma. Next question of Ravina. So we just saw so far that regarding one person, once he pays double, he doesn't have to pay a fifth. Right? So you don't have one person who would have to pay both double and a fifth. But what about two people? An owner of an ox takes the ox and gives it to two people to be shomrim together. Right? You have joint responsibility over this ox. Now, in the end, they both come and claim, oh, sorry, it was stolen. One of them, and they both swear to the fact that it was stolen. One of these shomrim admits to it. Since he admitted, he would have to pay a fifth. The other guy does not admit, and witnesses come and testify that he, in fact, had stolen it for himself. So that guy would have to pay double. So what about this case? Maybe when we said the law beforehand, that one person doesn't pay two different fines, that was talking about one individual there. The Torah, Rachamana, Hashem, commanded that one person should not have to pay both a fifth and double. So that's why we don't apply both. We pay only the double and not the fifth. But here it's two different people. So maybe one of the Shomrim will pay double and one will pay a fifth, and that will be okay. Or is it about one monetary obligation? Torah Hashem says it's not fair that for one monetary obligation there will have to be a fifth and a double amount paid for that one monetary. There's only one ox that was being washed here. So there's only one monetary obligation. And so it should not be that a double payment for one obligation, even if it's split by two people. And so here also, there's only one ox, there's only one monetary obligation, and they would not both have to pay. So we leave this question standing. We just said that one person cannot pay double and a fifth. Well, that's because it's two different types of payment. But can one person ever be obligated to pay more than a fifth, many fifths? Or can one person be obligated to pay many doubles because they're the same type of payment? How could it happen? How could such a case happen? Hechidame, shetan tanat abad v'nishma v'hoda, v'chazar v'tan tanat abad v'nishma v'hoda. You have a shomer, he claimed it was lost. And he swore that it was lost, and then he admitted, so he has to pay a fifth. And then again later on, he again makes the same claim and says it was lost in a different betin, and he swears to it, and he admits. So now he'd have to pay another fifth. Or iname kigon shetan tanat ganav v'nishbau ba'edim v'chazav tan tanat ganav v'nishbau ba'edim mai. Or he's a shomer and he claimed and swore that it was stolen, and then witnesses came. Now he has to pay double. And then again, at a different time, he again swore that it was stolen, and witnesses came and said, no, he stole it himself, and so we'd have to pay double again. Do we? Would we make him pay double again? Do we say on the one hand that the Torah, Hashem, is concerned about two different types of restitution, meaning a double payment and a fifth payment, that two different types should not be paid for one thing, but here it's one type, right? The problem is paying two different types of payment. You can't have a fifth and a double. But here they're all the same type. So yes, you can have to pay two fifths, three fifths, right? And many doubles because they're all the same type. And so yes, you would have to pay. Or do we say two payments? One cannot be given for one monetary obligation, no matter what the payments are, even if they're of the same type. And here, this is still two payments, even though they're both fifth type of payments, or both of them are double type of payments, still, they're two payments, and you should never have to pay two payments for one monetary obligation. Tashema damarava, v'chamishi tav Yosef alav, ha-torah ribita chamishiot harbe, le-keren achat, shema amina. And Vayikra chapter 5, and took in the context of swearing falsely about a monetary obligation, it says in plural, the fifths he will have to add to it. Since it says a fifth in plural, it means that, yes, it's possible that there can be more than one fifth payment that one would have to pay if one swore and then admitted multiple times. So, yes, we have an answer to that dilemma.
Tebauhu be'alim la'shomer v'nishba v'shilem v'ukar ha'ganav kefel lemi.
An interesting question. The source of this sugya is in Masechet Baba Metzi'ah. You have an owner of an ox, let's say, and he gives the ox to a shomer. And then the owner goes to the shomer and says, I want my ox. And the shomer does not have it. Now, we're talking about a shomer where something happens, ones, not his fault, and therefore the shomer doesn't have to pay. It could be shomer chinam or shomer sachar. Let's say armed robbers come and took it, even though shomer sachar is off the hook, as long as he swears that he was not negligent. So this shomer, first he swears, right? I was not negligent, and he's off the hook. However, he doesn't want to rely on that swear, and he says, you know what? I'll even pay you. And he pays, the shomer pays the owner, even though he doesn't even have to, so that he is totally absolved. He doesn't want anyone to suspect him of doing anything wrong at all. In the end, in fact, it was stolen, and the thief is found. Now, since the thief is found, the thief has to pay double. Who gets the double? This is a big machloket. Abaye amar lebal pikadon, Rava amar lemish pikadon etzlo. Abaye says it goes to the owner. He's the owner, after all. It's his cow. So ultimately, the thief who stole it from the owner. And even if it happened to be in the hands of the shomer, that's the owner's possession. And therefore, the double goes back to the owner. Rava, however, says it's whoever had the item, wherever it was deposited at the time it was stolen, which is going to be the shomer. The idea is that since the shomer paid for it, he gets the right to collect double. Here's the explanation. Abaye amar lebal pikadon, kevan da'atrache bishpua, lamakni le kefela. Abaye says it goes to the original owner. Why? Because the shomer bothered the owner, troubled him to have to make a shivua. He didn't give it right away. We're about to see in the Mishnah that everyone agrees that if the shomer says, I don't want to take a vow, you know, it's not nice that I don't like taking vows. It's, it's a serious deal, even though he didn't do anything wrong. He says, I don't want to take a vow. I'll just pay you for it. So if he comes right up front and pays for it, everybody would agree that in gratitude for that, the owner of the cow will grant the right to collect the double from a thief. Should the thief be found, we'll grant that to the shomer. Everybody agrees to that. However, in this case, he did not simply pay up front. The shomer didn't offer to pay right away. First he said, take me to court. Go to court. Make you swear. Okay, so since he troubled the shomer, troubled the owner to have to go through that process of having to make him make a swear, so therefore the owner is not so grateful. And even though the shomer paid for it also in the end, nevertheless, the kefel is not granted to the shomer, but it goes to the owner. That's the opinion of Rabbi. Rava amar, lemisha pikadon eslo, kevan deshilem, makni le kefela. Rava says, it doesn't matter the fact that he troubled him a little bit to have to make a swear. The point is that in the end, the shomer paid for it, even though he didn't have to pay. He just did it for goodwill. And so once he does that, the owner says, you know what, you paid me anyway, even though you didn't have to pay. I grant you the right to collect the double. And therefore, once the thief is found, the shomer can keep that double payment. Now, both Abaye and Rava, they both have to interpret the following Mishnah, and both of them are deriving their opinions from either an inference from the beginning or the end of the Mishnah. Dit nan Mishnah mamasechet baba mesiah. Hamafkid esel chavero bema okelim. Venigdebu o sheavdu. Shilem velod asah li shabbat. Sheare amru shomer chinam nishba v'yoseh. Nimsa haganav meshalem tashlumei kefel. Tabach u'machal meshalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Lemi hu meshalem? Lemi shepikadon eslo. An owner of an item that gives it to his friend a shomer to watch for him if it's an animal or vessels and they are stolen or they are lost. And then the owner comes and says, where is it? And the shomer says, it's gone. But the shomer, so swear and then you won't have to pay. But the shomer says, I don't want to swear. I'd rather just pay, right? Even though it's not my fault, I don't like taking vows. So he pays rather than swear. That's his prerogative. He can do that. After all, we do say regarding a shomer chinam that he can swear, right, for geneva and aveda. He can swear and then he goes free. But he says, I don't want to swear. I'd rather pay. If such a thing happens, and then the robber is found, he has to pay double. If the robber not only stole it, but also slaughtered it or sold it, he's going to have to pay 4 and 5. Who gets that payment? Whoever has the item, meaning the shomer. It was stolen while it was under the shomer. So this is a Mishnah. Everybody's going to agree to this. If the shomer pays right away and does not swear at all, and does not trouble the owner to bother swearing, everybody would agree that the shomer acquires the right to pay, the right to receive the payment of double. That's the resha. Sefa of the Mishnah. Nishma velo rasa l'shalem. Nimsa ganav meshem tashlumei kefel. Tavach macha meshem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Lemi hu meshalem lebaal hapikadon. If he, the shomer, Shomer Chinam is the example here, swears, right? It's Geneva Ve'Aveda. He swears and doesn't pay because he didn't want to pay. Why should he pay? It was not his fault. And so he does not pay. And then the robber is found. The robber has to pay double. And if he slaughtered or sold it, he has to pay 4 and 5. And who does he pay? He pays the original owner, right? Which makes sense because, and everybody would agree to this also, that if he, the Shomer, swore and didn't pay, so then the by swearing and not paying, there's no way that he gets the right to collect the double. So certainly here, everybody also would agree that the payment goes to the owner. The machloket now is in the excluded middle, right? The case that doesn't talk about is the case that we have a machloket here of if he swore and also paid, right? The resha was when he only paid and didn't swear. The sefa is when he swore but didn't pay. What about when he does both? Abaye deyek meresha, Rava deyek meresefa, Abaye deyek meresha, dekatani shilem ve lo rasa li shaba, tama ve de lo rasa li shaba. Abaye, who says that it goes to the owner, he inferred that from the resha. Why? Because the resha says if he paid and didn't swear, then it goes to the shomer. So that means that the only reason the double payment goes to the shomer is because he did not swear, he did not want to swear at all. He paid. So because he just paid right away, that's why the shomer gets the right. But we can infer, Hanishba, afal pi sheshilem, lemi meshalem, lebaal hapikadon. If he did both, if he swore, even though he also paid, doesn't matter who gets it, it goes back to the owner. The shomer can only keep it if he paid right away. But if he bothers the owner to make him give a swear, then the shomer does not take it. That's Abaye's inference. Rava deyek misefa, nishba velo rasa l'shalem, tama delo rasa l'shalem, hashilem, af al pi shenishba, lemi mishalem, lemi shepikadon eslo. Rava, who says that when he swears and pays, it goes to the shomer, he inferred that from the sefa, because sefa says if he swears and doesn't pay, then it goes to the owner. But that's so. Why does it go to the owner? Only because he didn't pay. But if he did pay, even though he also swore, where does it go? It should go to the shomer. All right. So each one has their source. But now we're going to ask each one about the other half. Abaye kashya sefa. All right. How's Abaye going to explain the sefa? Amar lach Abaye. Hachi katane. This is what they said. This is how I understand the sefa. Nishba. If the shomer swore and didn't want to pay. Now, the sefa itself in the Mishnah ends here, but here is how he's interpreting it. When it says he doesn't want to pay, he meant he didn't want to pay before he swore, but he did agree to pay after he swore. Doesn't matter whether he pays afterwards or not. The fact that he made a vow first and troubled the owner. So now the owner's not going to give over the right to collect. And therefore, when the thief is caught, who does he pay? He gives the money to the original owner. That's how Abaye explains the Sefa. L'Rava Kashya Resha, how will Rava explain the first half of the Mishnah? Malach Rava Hachi Katane. Shilem ve'lo ratza la'amod b'shvuato ela shilem. Lemi meshalem? Lemi shepikadon eslo. The Resha in the Mishnah talks about if a person paid only and didn't make a swear. So Rava explains, what does that mean, that he paid and didn't want to make a swear? It means he paid and didn't want to rely on the swear that he already made. In fact, it is talking about a case where he swore and paid. So that doesn't mean that he didn't want to swear. He swore, but then he said, you know what? I don't want to rely on that swear. I don't know, maybe you don't believe me. I want to be 100%. So forget about that vow. I'm going to pay you. So once he pays, the shomer pays the owner, and then the thief gets caught. Who gets the money? It goes to the shomer. So that's how they can each explain the half of the Mishnah that the other one relies on as a proof. Teba'uhu be'alim la'shomer v'nishba v'ukar haganav. Teba'o shomer vehoda, teba'o be'alim vechafar, vehevi'u adim, mi niftar hagana behodat shomer, o lo niftar hagana behodat shomer. Very interesting case. You have an owner of a cow. He gives it to a shomer. He tells the shomer, where is it? The shomer swears that it was stolen. Okay, it turns out that they find the thief. Now, so they know who the thief is, and now they have to go and get double from the thief. So first, the shomer himself goes to the thief and demands money, right? Pay that double. And the thief admits. So hokara gana means he was recognized, but we don't have witnesses just yet. So he goes, but we know it's him. We think it's him. So the shomer goes to him and says, aren't you the thief? Right, pay up. And the thief admits. Since the thief admitted, he would have to pay one payment, but he doesn't pay yet. In the meantime, the owner comes, and the owner of the cow goes to the thief and said, hey, you're the thief, pay up, right? Aren't you the thief? And the thief says, no, not me. Okay, he just admitted to the shomer, but when he comes to the owner, he changes his tune and says, no, it wasn't me. But then they're able to find witnesses. The owner brings witnesses, and now they know it's him, and now he's going to have to pay double. So what do we say? Does the ganav get off the hook of paying double because he already made an admission to the shomer? Is the shomer considered a representative of the owner, and therefore that admission is admissible, right? It's registered, and therefore he only pays one. Or is the witness, since the witness already made a vow and got himself off the hook, so now the shomer is not part of the system, and that admission is not officially registered, and so the thief does not get off paying double with the admission of the shomer because he denied it to the owner? That's the question. Very good question. Amar Rava, im be'emet nishba, niftar hagana behodat shomer. Im be'sheker nishba, lo niftar hagana behodat shomer. Rava says, it depends on whether that shomer was telling the truth or not. If, right, the shomer claimed it was stolen. Now, if witnesses come and indeed prove that it was stolen, so that shomer was telling the truth all along, well, in that case, we would assume that the owner continues to trust the shomer as a shomer. So since that guy is still a shomer, he still is a legal representative of the owner, and therefore when the thief admits to the shomer, that is officially registered as an admission, and the thief only has to pay one payment. However, if it turns out that the shomer lied, let's say the shomer said, oh, it died, right? But now witnesses come and say it was stolen. So now we see the shomer had lied, and therefore he's not a trustworthy shomer. In that case, we assume that the owner would not want such an untrustworthy shomer to continue to be a shomer. And so, in that case, the shomer does not represent the owner, and the admission that was given to the shomer does not register, and therefore, the thief has to pay double because he denied the claim to the owner. Good, good, good answer, Rava. Ba'ayer Rava, amad li shava b'sheker ve'lo hinichu hu mahu teku. What if, right, an owner gives an ox to a shomer and says, where is it? And the shomer is about to lie falsely. And the owner says, you know, forget about it. I don't want you to swear. I think you're lying. I don't want you to take a false a vow about it. And so he doesn't continue the suit. And he ends up not taking a swear. What do we say about that case? Does he continue to be a shomer because he didn't make a vow, a false vow, and so he continues his job? Or now that the owner said, you know what, I don't even trust you enough to swear, does that imply that he is not continuing to be a shomer? We leave that question standing. Rav Kana matne hachi. So that was a version of the question that Rav Kana taught in the name of that name of Rava. However, there's another version of the question. Rav Tavyumi matne ba'ay Rava. His version was that Rava asked, nishba la sheker mahu teku. No, not that he was going to make a false vow, but what if he actually made a false vow? By making a false vow, does he still continue to be a shomer? Or since he made a false vow, the owner doesn't want him to be a shomer at all. And this will have consequences too, whether he has the exemptions of a shomer that is patur in certain cases or not. Teba'uhu be'alim la'shomer v'shilem v'hukar ha'ganav. Teba'uhu be'alim v'hoda. Teba'uhu shomer v'chafar v'hevi edim. Niftar ganav v'hoda'at be'alim o la. If an owner comes to a shomer and says, you know, where's my item? The shomer says, I don't want to swear. I'm just going to pay for it. So he pays for it. And then they recognize they identify the robber. So they have to go collect from him. So in this case, it's the opposite of the case before. The owner goes first and says, hey, you're the robber, aren't you? And the robber admits, yes, I am. In that case, if we stop there, he would just pay one. However, then the shomer goes and he also wants to make a claim. You see, in this case, the shomer is, since the shomer paid, the shomer is going to be the one that would get double. So it's in the interest of the shomer for the robber to actually lie if he can find witnesses. So in that case, the shomer goes to the robber, and now the robber changes his tune. Although he just admitted it to the owner, now he denies that he is the robber to the shomer. But the shomer brings witnesses that he is the robber, in which case he would have to pay double. So what do we say about this? Does the ganav get off the hook of paying double because he admitted to the owners? Or not? Maybe that admission was nothing because it's the shomer that has the right to collect the double. So maybe that admission is not registered. Mi amrinan maseh amar le shomer la be'alim atun kevan de shaklitu lechu deme istaliku lechu mehacha. Can the shomer say to the owner, hey, you guys, since you collected money from me, I paid you. As soon as you asked me for it, I didn't want to swear, I paid you for it. So therefore, you have no further business here, right? I'm the one that has the right to collect the kefil. And so the admission that he made to you is not registered as anything significant, and I get the double. Or maybe the owner can tell the shomer, just like you did a favor to me, right, that you paid me right away and didn't make me bother to make you swear. You did me a favor. Listen, I want to actually return the favor. So I went and demanded money from the thief, right? I was doing you a favor. Technically, I got paid already, and the double payment would go to you. So I was helping you out. So therefore, I should be authorized. It is my business to repay the favor that you gave me. Shakil na anan didan ushkol at didach. And therefore, the admission that the robber made to the owner should be registered, and I will take what's mine, and you will take what's yours, meaning that the robber will then pay the owner. The owner can pay back the shomer, and the shomer will only end up getting one, not the double in this case. Take all. That's a good question, and we leave it standing.
Itmar, Nigneva be'ones v'ukar haganav, Amar Abaye, im shomer chinam hu, rasa ose imodin, rasa nishpa. Im shomer sachar hu, ose imodin, ve'eno nishpa.
If you have a shomer, right, the owner gives the item to the shomer, and it was stolen beyond the will of the Shomer. The Shomer was not negligent. Let's say, to make it easy, that it was armed robbers came and took it from the Shomer. In which case, no matter what kind of Shomer, Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, they do not have to pay. They just have to swear that they were not negligent. So that's the normal case where they can swear and not pay. However, here it's a little bit different, because before they swear, Hukad HaGanav, the thief, is recognized. He's not yet proven, he wasn't yet brought to court, but he was identified in some way. And so now, since we know who it is, and someone's going to have to bring him to court to either make him admit or get witnesses, and then he'll have to pay double. So who's responsible for bringing him to court? Is the Shomer responsible for that? So we have Machloket here. Abaye says it depends. If it's a Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Chinam, he was just doing a favor. He wasn't getting paid. So he has the prerogative. If he wants, he can take him to court, be involved in the judgment. Or if he wants, he can just make a vow. In other words, Shomer Chinam, listen, if he does, Shomer Chinam doesn't want to get involved in it, he could just make a vow. I was not negligent, and that's it. He's off the hook. And now the owner will have to go and take that ganav to court and try to get back repayment, or a single or double, depending on whether he admits or not. However, if the Shomer Chinam says, you know what, I want to, because the Shomer Chinam can stand to gain. He can get double payment, possibly. So Shomer Chinam says, yeah, I want to deal with it. And so in that case, the Shomer Chinam would not swear, but rather he would say, okay, I'll take it upon myself to get the ganav. However, if it's a Shomer Sachar, he got paid for his job, and therefore, even though it was beyond his control that it was stolen, nevertheless, because he was paid, part of that responsibility is that should it get stolen, the Shomer Sachar has to, since the Ganav is already identified, the Shomer Sachar has to go and enter into judgment with him. So, in that case also, the Shomer Sachar case, he cannot just take an oath and be exempt, but rather he has to go and try to collect the money himself. Rava amar echad zeh v'echad zeh osei modin ve'eno nishpa. Rava says, no, it doesn't matter. Shomer chinam or shomer sachar, both of them have that responsibility, since if they had taken a vow up front before the ganav was found, then yeah, fine. But now that we know the ganav, and so now there's a ready possibility for them to collect money, so they do not take a vow, but rather both Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, it's their responsibility to go take the alleged thief to court and try to collect one or double. Lema piliga ad Rav Huna bar Avin. Question to Rava. Rava said there's no distinction. It seems that Rava disagrees with Rav Huna bar Avin. The Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin. Rav Huna bar Avin sent the following ruling that is the same as Abaye's. Nigneba be'ones v'ukad ganav. Im shomer chinam hu rasa ose imodin, rasa nishpa. V'im shomer sachar hu ose imodin ve'eno nishpa. If it was stolen against the will, against the control of the shomer, and then they identified the thief. So if it's a shomer chinam, he has the prerogative to decide if he wants to take the alleged thief to court, or if he'd rather just swear and not be involved and let the owner take him to court. But if he's a shomer sachar, then the shomer has the responsibility to bring him to court, and he cannot get off the hook just by swearing. So that seems to be the same as Abaye, and so it seems to be against Rava. Is it? Amar lach Rava, hacha b'maiskinan kegon shekadam v'nishba. Rava says that Rav Huna bar Avin's case is talking about where he made a vow first. He already had made a vow before the thief was recognized. That's where there is a choice. But if the thief was already recognized, then everyone, both types of shomnim, have to deal with the thief. But that the problem is this doesn't fit with the wording of Rav Huna bar Avin. His wording is, if he wants to, the Shomer Chinam wants to enter into judgment, he can. If he wants to, he can vow. Sounds like he didn't vow yet, right? The thief was already recognized, and now he's deciding that he wants to vow. So Rav says, I'll explain what he meant by that. What he meant is, yes, he had already made a vow, and if the Shomer Chinam wants, he can remain with the vow and not pay the owner and not get involved in the din. Or if he wants, he can undo the vow, pay the owner, and take upon himself the responsibility to take the thief to court. And so, in fact, Rava can be reconciled with the statement of Rav Huna bar Avin. And lastly, Rabba Zuti, Ba'e la Hachi. That was one version of the question. Here is Rabba Zuti's version of the question. He's a contemporary of Rav Asher. He's a small Rabba, to be in distinction to the big Rava, earlier one. Ha'nigneba be'ones, ve'chazir gana be'bet shomer, u'meta be'pshi'a mahu. Let's say you have a shomer, and then a thief came and stole this item from the shomer, a cow, from the shomer, in circumstances beyond the control of the shomer, he couldn't do anything. So the shomer is not responsible. So he swears, and he's not responsible. But then the ganav, after he stole it, maybe he felt bad, he returned it to the house of the Shomer. You know, maybe he stole it to go on a joyride, and then he didn't need it anymore, and he returns the cow to that to the house of the Shomer. And then the Shomer is negligent. He's like, I'm not watching anymore, I'm finished. And he's negligent with the cow, and the cow dies. What do we say in that case? Do we say on the one hand, since it was stolen and beyond his control, he's not responsible, so now he's not a shomer anymore. So if someone comes, sneaks in and puts a cow, someone else's cow, in your house, you're not responsible for it. You're not, even if you're negligent and it dies, I don't know. You didn't give me the cow. I'm not responsible. I didn't take upon myself to be a shomer. So in this case, even though he had been a shomer, once it's stolen, and it's not his fault, wasn't negligent, so then he's not a shomer anymore. And the fact that he didn't take care of it and it died, not his problem. Or do we say, once the animals return to his house, now he is a shomer again. If it had been there the whole time, he would have been a shomer. So it was temporarily stolen. Now it's returned. He is a shomer again. And he is responsible for not taking care of it and letting it die. Teko, we leave that question standing. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.